It's amazing to me how nothing affects your mood like baseball. It's in a fine mood. Got plenty of sleep until, I don't know, right about the beginning of the seventh inning. And then the whole day has been terrible ever since. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz. You have found the only podcast in the world that is completely devoted to covering the four major sports franchises of one major market city in America. Plus, USL, IFL, WNBA, a little bit of PGA and NASCAR. This is Doug Franz Unplugged in Phoenix, Arizona. I like that one. I got to kind of move the end a little better. But that one's it. That put me in a better mood. You know what? I don't know why. I didn't think of getting a beer. So I'm not going to go through the opening of the bottle, but I'm going to go get a beer. I'm a little bit ahead of the game. It's 2:41 this morning. So that's good. I'm just really frustrated about the Diamondbacks. Really frustrated with this series and blowing the game that the way they did. I'm pretty frustrated with Torey Lovello today. I'm frustrated with Torey Lovello. Today's the day where Props Arizona, presented by Betfred Sports, drops. It drops every Thursday morning. Please do me a favor and listen to it. And if you could, if you're going to watch it today, will you just do me a favor and suck it up too? I know that sounds strange. This is still the product, so I need it to be put out as much as possible. But I'm having some kind of issue with my Wi-Fi in here. My download speed in the office is in the 20s, and it's around 250 upstairs. And so while we were doing Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports, I didn't know this. I didn't hear any problems throughout the broadcast, but I was supposedly very pixelated and it was a problem. So they've decided that they're going to just superimpose a picture of me during the broadcast. That's kind of weird. So it's still going to be on YouTube, but it's just going to be a still shot of me. I don't know how this is going to look either. All I know is I still need your help as much as possible. So please listen to Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports on Apple or Spotify, or at the same time, watch it if you can and get our views up, even though it'll be mostly Papa Bear Sean doing all the good looking, and I won't really be there by face. But it picks up about 20 minutes in. That's what I was told. Again, I haven't seen it yet. So please do me a favor and give it a watch if you could. July 22nd is the date at the Parlay for the next sanctioned event, which is through Props Arizona. Can't wait to be out there on the east side. It's going to be on Price, just off the 202. The way Sean keeps talking about this place, he says it's fantastic. So all Eastsiders try to get out there. Sean has not finished getting the golf outing that should be associated with this attached. So please keep in mind, if you are an Unplugged member and you want to keep your general status, golf is never, so I would love to see you, but golf is never something that's general status, because I don't want you to have to buy something or pay for something to be a general in the Unplugged Army or try to improve your rank. But getting there, yeah, I want to see you and be a part of it. So that's July 22nd, Friday happy hour, and it can be, hey, just stop in, get a drink, and then go. It could be stay for multiple drinks as long as you have a driver, or stay for dinner. You know, whatever you want to do. You could go there right after work and then go home. You could flip it around and maybe pick up somebody from home, or maybe go on a date Friday night. Maybe ask somebody out and say, hey, the first part of the date is we're going to be with the Unplugged Army. You know, your date might be a little confused, but that's all right. Take them over, meet, and just tell them, hey, this is all my friends. Hey! You know, and we'll all be in on it. And then you go on to your next thing, wherever you're going for the actual date. Or you just eat at the Parlay. But that's coming up July 22nd. If you could, keep the feedback and maybe if you have any questions for me, like hardcore old school sports questions or anything like that, send them to me for the rest of this week. I've really gotten a lot of feedback since I asked for it earlier in the week, and I've decided what I'm going to do next week. I am going to do some shows next week. I really want to slow down for a week, take some time off, and I'm going to do that next week. But how I'm going to do it is I've decided I'll do a podcast. I won't do the 4-minute offense. I'm just going to flip the microphone on, talk to you through Twitter, meaning some of your comments, your emails, things like that, answer your questions, and then be done. So it might be, you know, just a week of 20-minute podcast, talking a little bit of sports and be in and out. But just for me to shut it down for a little bit and then get ready for training camp for the Cardinals. And then I am meeting today with that company that wants to hire me to do an all Cardinals podcast. And that would be a video YouTube podcast. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I just point blank, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think it could benefit me a little bit, but I cannot take away from this. And this is really important to me. Not only that, but, you know, Parker and Sons is really important to me. Ideal Home Loans. I mean, these are people that have been with me forever on the old show. So I don't want to be putting a lot of time into a different podcast and have you decide, you know what, hey, I like the Cardinals more, so I'm going to go over there. And then I don't have you supporting these sponsors. So that kind of worries me, you know? And then there's people like, you know, Mikey and Angel, who just out of nowhere said, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. And started Doug. I mean, they're just as instrumental in starting Doug Franz Unplugged as I am. And if I go and do another podcast, does that affect this one? You know, I don't know. I don't know the answers to these questions. I just want to listen. I want to listen. So that's today. So I hope, you know, pray for wisdom for me to be able to make the right decisions that I'm looking for there. All right, I've already recorded the 4-minute offense. I'm going to run get a beer while you listen on Doug Franz Unplugged. Did you call yet? 602-899-7000. I've been telling you about Ideal Home Loans for years now. They have the mortgage on my home. It's easy for me to say the number over and over again, 602-899-7000. We chose them because, well, I had a friend that said they're good. That was really it. But then when I got to know him, the president, Brent, and talking to him, I realized this is what we want. I appreciated the way Joel, who was our actual guy that handled the loan as a loan officer, listened to what we had to say. That's why I made up the phrase, first they listen, then they lend. The reason why that matters is, let's say right now you're a little nervous because of interest rates, but you've got some bad credit card debt, and maybe your car's getting a little old. This is an amazing opportunity. Housing prices are not only stabilizing, they're just barely starting to come back down the mountain a little bit. That means you're losing the equity in your home. That's money you're losing, but you can call Ideal Home Loans before it's gone. 602-899-7000 or go to idealhomeloans.com.
Four-minute offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in San Francisco. Diamondbacks a loser 4-3. They lose the series after winning game one. Manager Torrey Lovello.
It's pretty somber in here right now because these guys care. It hurts and hurts everybody.
Zach Gallen threw 6 1/3. Outstanding. Only gave up one hit. Torrey Lovello was questioned about sending Zach Gallen back out for the 7th inning.
Yeah, he was probably in the mid-80 pitch mark, and I felt like he still had 15 quality pitches that he could throw. And he was in total control of the game, so he'd given up one hit through 6. I just felt like it was a no-brainer.
The problem was the 2nd hit. With an 0-2 count, Brandon Belt went yard. That made it 3-1. Later in the inning, Joe Mantiply gave up a sack fly. That made it 3-2. Then in the 9th, Mark Melancon took the loss by giving up another run.
And this game is over.
Diamondbacks have today off to lick their wounds. They head to San Diego. D-backs and Padres Friday at 6:40. Now, your daily Kevin Durant update. Brandon Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, was asked if there's any chance the Brooklyn Nets stop taking trade requests and try to run it back with Kyrie and KD.
Boy, is that the vibe that is coming out of Brooklyn right now, that they are prepared to do that.
Famous last words of a team that's usually about to trade somebody. Mercury at home. They take on the Washington Mystics, 7 o'clock. The Open Championship for the Championship Golfer of the Year is underway. Expect extremely low scores in day one with bright sunshine and low wind in Scotland. Before the tournament, the chairman of the RNA, Martin Slumbers, spoke about the future of LIV golfers participating in the Open Championship.
We have been asked quite frequently about banning players. Let me be very clear. That's not on our agenda.
Big 12 football media days are underway. Who knows if the day comes where ASU and U of A are there. Mike Gundy, head coach of Oklahoma State, took the opportunity to praise the remaining members and to compliment the strength of the conference.
I don't think there's any question as this moves forward, the Big 12 conference is in tremendous position. The Big 12 is better off today than it was at this time last year.
NFL news. The lawyers for Daniel Snyder, owner of the Washington Commanders, has let Congress know he will not testify if subpoenaed. He is currently out of the country in Israel. And if you're a fan of NFL Sunday Ticket that's on DirecTV, it could be on the move. Reports say the NFL is negotiating a $3 billion a year deal with Apple TV. MLB news. The Royals will set a strange record tonight playing against Toronto with 10 of their players inactive. You cannot enter the country of Canada without a vaccination card. The Royals have 10 unvaccinated players and they'll have to be replaced from the minor leagues. Baseball also announced that they will be experimenting in the Florida State League. There will be lines drawn in the shape of a pie slice or the same shape as those little wedges from old Trivial Pursuit that will start at second base with the arc of the pie slice fanning out along the outfield grass. No infielder will be allowed to stand in the pie slice before the pitch. Baseball wants to bring back base hits that go back up through the box. And finally, our country has a major crisis. Due to the incredible popularity of those cheese ball ready-to-drink cocktails, we are not keeping up with the aluminum demand. With less aluminum, there's a shortage of cans, making prices higher on things like... Sound credits. I got the everything from Martin Slumbers. I got off of YouTube, and I have a lot to say about that. I got the Mike Gundy off of the Big 12 YouTube channel as well. Got a little bit on that, and then I'm going to play you something from LeBron, which is from his the Shop podcast, and then I got all of the Tory and the play by play. I got the play-by-play from MLB.com, and I got the Tory from Bally Sports Arizona. And let's start there today with Bally Sports Arizona and the Diamondbacks. Losing 4-3, this is one of those games where I do look at the manager. He made a decision in this game, which I think we're both of us are going to forever disagree on. There's no doubt about that. I know why he did what he did, and I think this is one of the fundamental mistakes that Torey Lovello was making a lot in the past, and I thought he had gotten away from it. And it really bothers me that he didn't do what I perceive to be the right thing to do. First of all, we'll start at the beginning. Zach Gallen, fantastic. 6 1/3, no runs, only gave up one hit. A little of it had to do with an outstanding play by McCarthy in right field, but for the most part, he was great until the 7th inning. We'll get into that in a minute. Let's start things off with what Torey kind of said about the game and what he felt like following the 3-0 lead that turned into a 4-3 loss.
It's pretty somber in here right now because these guys care. It hurts and hurts everybody. And when you don't win a game that you feel like you should have, you gotta grow and learn and keep pushing. But you know, I want them to digest what just happened so we can get better from it.
Okay, the good news, Marte and McCarthy both went 2-for-4, and Marte actually had a solo homer in the game. My frustration is spilling over. You win game one, you get shelled 13-0 in game two, then you got a 3-0 lead and you blow it. Now, keep in mind, if players did their job, then we wouldn't be talking about the manager, right? You always have to acknowledge that first. The managing comes into play when the players aren't getting it done. The players were allowed to keep scoring. They scored early in the game and never scored again. If you didn't see the game yesterday, especially with it being a day game, Diamondbacks scored two runs in the third thanks to a two-run triple from Dalton Varsho, and they get a solo homer from Ketel Marte in the third. So after two and a third of being up 3-0, they don't score again. So there's an issue here, okay? And that's on the offense. And that's up to them to have gotten the job done. So Zach Allen goes 6 innings, and he's fantastic with the one hit. Gets totally shelled in the 7th inning. Torey Lovello was asked after the game why he didn't pull Zach before that inning going into the 7th.
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. You know, typically he comes here over the past couple of years and it's been a little bit of a challenge for him, but he gave up one hit through probably 6 1/3, and he was doing a great job. He was cruising. I felt like he deserved to pitch into that part of the game. He just made a couple of mistakes, and the home run, there's a couple well-placed balls that were hard hit. But it just didn't go his way the entire time. But he left the mound with the lead, and that's what we ask our pitchers to do.
Okay, I set that up wrong. That's the quote of, what did you think of Zach Gallen? Here's the one where, why did you leave him in?
Yeah, he was probably the mid-80 pitch mark, and I felt like he still had 15 quality pitches that he could throw. And he was in total control of the game. So he'd given up one hit through 6. I just felt like it was a no-brainer.
That's not the decision I disagree with. I think that's exactly the right decision. Sometimes a manager makes the right decisions and it doesn't work. I can almost feel your frustration if you're frustrated with Torey Lovello, and here I am saying this one wasn't the problem. But think about this, and maybe this will have you see it on my side. Zach Allen only had given up the one hit through the first 6 innings, and even better, he only threw 9 pitches in the 5th inning. And just 6 pitches in the 6th inning. That's it. So he got him one, two, three in the 5th. He hit a batter, but then he got a double play. And then in the 6th, he was fantastic. Pop up, ground out, fly out. That was it. And he did it in 6 pitches. So 15 pitches to get through the previous 2 innings. Of course you're going to let him throw the 7th inning. If he's doing that well, in which he retires the 6 batters that he faced. Granted, one got on, but then was eliminated by a double play. But 6 outs and 6 plate appearances, and he did it with limited pitches, he gets the 7th. Maybe you could convince me if Zach Allen was really, really young and he had some bad performances, and now you want to get him off the field with the feeling of accomplishment, you take him out after 6 innings. But we're so far beyond that with Zach Allen. So I totally agree with him coming in the 7th inning, and it got out of hand fast. I would have pulled him one batter sooner, you know, something like that, but I wouldn't have been able to stop it either. I'm not pretending to know it all here and know what should have happened, okay? So now Mantiply comes in the 7th. I agree with that decision. What I didn't understand is, why did Mantiply come in to pitch to a righty at first? Joe Mantiply is a left-handed pitcher, and the first batter he came in to face was a righty. I thought that was strange. So the double happens to Mike Yastrzemski. If you didn't see the game again, 7th inning, pop-up, home run, single double, and that's when they bring in Mantiply. I really have a problem with that managerial decision from Torey Lovello. He's already given up a solo homer, and when he gave up that solo homer was crushed. That ball was crushed. Now he gave up a hit, and Mike Yastrzemski, the lefty, is up at the plate. I think that what's proper is, as soon as that home run left the bat with Brandon Belt, you get somebody up, and then after the Estrada base hit, I'm bringing in my lefty to face Yastrzemski. They didn't do it. Now Yastrzemski doubles. You've got runners on second and third. And you bring in Mantiply to face VR. That seems strange to me. Really strange. VR hits a sack fly off of Mantiply. So officially, the line on Zach Allen is 6 2/3 and 2 earned runs given up. But Mantiply gave up one of the inherited runners. And it used to be Joe Mantiply never even allowed inherited runners, let alone giving up a runner of his own. And he is on a bad streak now. If you remember about 2 weeks ago, he got lit up. And I said, I'm not worried at all because this just doesn't happen. Mantiply hasn't been lit up. So when your best reliever hurts you, I'm not going to flip out and get all that angry. Well, now Mantiply is clearly in a rut. He is clearly in a rut. It's no longer where you just say everything's okay. I hope he gets some confidence going to the All-Star game. But Joe is not doing well. So you wasted that and you gave up the sack fly. Mantiply gets the strikeout. So you're up 3-2. Mantiply stays in the game and pitches the eighth inning. Promptly gives up a solo home run to tie it. And then the very next hitter, it's a base hit. Middleton comes in. And Middleton comes in and gets strikeout, double play. So he saves Mantiply's bacon. So it's 3-3 going into the top of the ninth. Diamondbacks do nothing. And then it's 3-3 into the bottom of the ninth inning. Melanson comes in, gives up a single, gets a strikeout, double walk, bases loaded, base hit as a walk-off. Here's where I am losing my mind, and obviously Torrey Lovello could easily disagree with me. Mark Melanson has failed enough this year that you don't let him keep going. I think that's what I'm really frustrated about. And I want you to know the ramifications of what I'm saying, because there are ramifications that basically go up and down the entire team. When you pull your closer from a game in which the game is still in doubt, you have signaled to your entire team and organization, this man is not my closer anymore. Okay? It is a monumental thing for a team. The closer knows you don't have total faith in him, and that can affect his confidence. The team knows you don't have total confidence, and it can lead to teams kind of pressing, not playing as well in late situations because they put too much on themselves, thinking I've got to carry the team because we don't have a closer. There's a lot of things that can happen, and a lot of them are bad. But to me, none of them are worse than leaving Melanson in the game. He's no longer good enough. He hasn't done well enough this year. This is not a rant on Melanson. If somebody's going to pay me that kind of money to be a pitcher, I'm going to take it too. I'm not saying he's going out there trying to fail. What I am saying is he's failed enough that there shouldn't be a leash. He's failed enough where you say you're not getting it done, you're out. And a single strikeout and double, okay, he's already got two runners on. We now got to play matchup. We've immediately got to get somebody up to be able to handle the next set of batters. And that's not what happened. And then in the time that you could have had somebody warmed up and ready to go, VR walks. Now you've got Brandon Crawford and you've got a lefty in the bullpen in Nelson and you don't use him. You've got a lefty in the bullpen in Caleb Smith and you don't use him. Now, I don't know pregame who they decided who was dead, who wasn't, any of that. I don't care. Here's what I know. Melanson has failed too often to say, you know what, I'm going to ride this horse. If they're doing well and having a good year, oh my gosh, you ride the horse every time. Every time. You say, I don't even have anybody warming up in the bullpen. And if my closer blows it, my closer blows it. But there were a lot of decisions, not a lot, there were a couple of decisions in this game where I think it wasn't just happenstance that it didn't go well. And what I said earlier about Torrey Lovello sticking with guys, or the same mistakes that he's made before, he tends to stick with guys way too long. And I totally believe it is he worries too much about the psyche of the player instead of creating a spirit of competition that says, hey, you've got an opportunity to become the closer. Who wants it? Confidence is vitally important in the game of baseball. But for some reason, there are quite a few managers that worry over the course of 162 games about everybody's psyche more than just winning the game. You prove to people you're right when you win the game. So I want to acknowledge this is hard what I'm asking him to do. It's hard to go in front of the team and have everybody know you just opposed your veteran closer. But guess what's going to happen next time? I mean, I think this is the type of blown, it's not a blown save because it wasn't a save situation, but this is the type of loss, Melanson gets the loss, that maybe the next time Torey Lovello will do exactly what I'm saying. And then I'm going to look at it and I'm not going to feel vindicated that I was right. I'm going to say, Torey, where was that before? Now, I bet there's some of you that's ready to make that next leap and say, see, Torey Lovello should be fired. The reason why I'm not going there is because the Diamondbacks really aren't that good. I think they will be, though. I am totally sold on Corbin Carroll in left, Alec Thomas in center, Varsho in right. I just totally blanked on the kid's name in high A, who's going to be a great shortstop, at least we hope. Jordan Lawler. I love Rojas as a backup infielder, full-time DH. Ketel Marte drives me nuts. I don't understand why you can't take the game seriously and be focused on every pitch. But he's got amazing talent. Christian Walker's, I would trade him and because he's going to be a tradable commodity. Peralta, you're going to trade. I mean, this team is moving in the right direction. But Torey Lovello, you've got to rise to the occasion here. You had an opportunity to win that game. And yes, your offense let you down, but you managed them to a loss on this one. This isn't just Joe Mantiply got beat up. It's not just Melanson got beat up. You put faith in people that have been failing either recently in the case of Mantiply or consistently this year in the case of Melanson. Bad move, Torey. Bad move. Diamondbacks off today. They take on the Padres coming up tomorrow. All right, coming up next, I couldn't believe what I read. I literally could not believe what I read. It's America's fault Griner went to Russia. That's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. I read something yesterday that was really difficult for me to swallow, really difficult for me to handle. I'm going to struggle with this one a lot. I don't want to get personal and attack people, and I love living in the greatest country in the world where we're all free to give our opinion. Sometimes I hear an opinion that is so misinformed or horrific that I don't see why I should even respect this person at all. And when I say not respect, I mean, I'm not going to be like a cold shoulder to the person because I've done dumb things or said things that I look back later and said, boy, that's not really what I meant. Or, you know, I want the freedom to screw up. But what I read yesterday, I found horrifically offensive. There is a writer by the name of Greg Moore who writes for the Arizona Republic. This is the headline of his article. LeBron James had a point. It's America's fault Brittany Griner went to Russia. Now, as soon as I saw that, my first thought was, I hope he's not going to tell me it's my fault because I've never bought a WNBA ticket before. That was as soon as I read that, that's what I was wondering. So let's go to point one when he says LeBron James had a point. If you didn't hear it, LeBron James has not, the episode hasn't dropped yet. It drops tomorrow. But he has a podcast, The Shop, kind of more of a show, actually. And in the trailer to hype up this specific show, they released this little snippet with, it's kind of heavily produced with music underneath it. But here's LeBron talking about Brittany Griner.
Now, how can she feel like America has her back? I would be feeling like, do I even want to go back to America?
After saying that, and the Twitterverse reacted to LeBron's comments. He then sent out this weird tweet that wasn't really an apology, but was more along the lines of, hey, I love this beautiful country, but I was speaking about how you would feel when you're just in it. It was very strange. So when he said this, I didn't like it. I wasn't going to talk to you about it. I was just going to let it go, but I didn't like it. And the reason why I didn't like it is, why would you say maybe she doesn't even want to come back? I mean, have you done the research to know the weight of what's going on? I don't know whether she was illegally detained or not. If she violated the laws of Russian society, I say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have gone there, or you should have been more careful. That's their rules. At the same time, I don't trust anything Russia does. I don't know if it was planted. And if it wasn't planted and it really was hers, well, am I to believe that a Russian civilian that's involved in the former KGB or Communist Party does the exact same thing? Does the airport personnel not even worry about it? Well, here comes Brittany Griner, a high-profile American where Putin knows I can win a battle of exchanging prisoners. Let's grab her. You know, I'm going to believe the latter. I'm very pro Brittany Griner in this, and I'm pro bringing her home. But I'm pro bringing every American home from Russia. And LeBron's comment of, you know, do you even want to come back? Listen, we got problems in this country, but where are you going? What country's better, LeBron? You tell me. What country's better? Then the article of Greg Moore continues that really got to me. It says, first of all, it's a very strange article. It tries to explain the political ramifications of bringing Brittany home as it relates to allowing different Russians to possibly be included in a prisoner swap. But it's not well written. There isn't a flow. It doesn't try to really inform me or lead me somewhere that we didn't already know. So to be fair, let me read directly from the article. James stepped out of bounds in the eyes of conservative referees when he said on The Shop Uninterrupted in a brief clip that went viral this week that if he were Griner, he might not want to come back to the U.S. after the ordeal. Quote, how can she feel like America has her back? He dribbled that back on Twitter, saying my comments weren't knocking our beautiful country. I was simply saying how she's probably feeling emotionally. And then this goes back into now Greg Moore's language, end quote. But we all need to realize we're culpable in this. Brittany Griner earns $230,000 a year playing for the Phoenix Mercury, where she's one of the league's biggest and most recognizable stars. James earns more than double that, about $520,000 per game, not to mention all of his endorsements and entrepreneurial moves that prompted Forbes to rank him as the first active NBA player to become a billionaire. So how much does Brittany Griner make playing in Russia? Reportedly about $1 million. So there's the answer for anyone wondering why Brittany Griner was in Russia in the first place. The argument will be, of course, that the NBA generates more revenue than the WNBA. But that's the result of American sexism. And if the NBA is looking to offset inequality between men and women by helping subsidize the WNBA, then it needs to invest more. The current pay gaps are unconscionable. Again, I go back to my original point. I am so deeply offended that I'm really having trouble respecting Greg Moore, the person. I am fine with somebody bringing up points that I disagree with. I'm not saying boycott the Republic, boycott sponsors, never read Greg Moore again. I don't like when people, that to me is kind of a form of censorship. I want people to be able to read and write and say what they want. American soldiers from Lexington and Concord until today have died, are dying, and will die for Greg Moore to write something like that. And I want to honor that. I just don't see how you can't be offended. I am a 12-year or so girls soccer coach, and yet I'm sexist because I've never spent money buying a WNBA ticket. It's now my job to subsidize the WNBA in order for Greg Moore not to think that I'm sexist. I'm a bad guy because I don't enjoy women's basketball. There, I said it. I don't like it. To me, it's slow and prone to turnovers. Now, 3 days ago, you're going to laugh at me. I was flipping around and I saw Argentina versus Peru in women's soccer. And I stopped and watched the whole first half. I thought the color analyst, a woman by the name of Kendra D. St. Aubin, made such a good point about the Argentinian striker that I texted her to tell her good point. Does that mean I'm sexist because I was watching women's soccer? But today, last night, I saw an MLS game on and I thought, I don't have time for this, and I flipped right through it. So does that make me sexist because I put women's soccer over men's? To me, women's soccer is really close to the men's game. The movement is the same. There's, of course, there's a different skill level and there's a different speed level, but the game is so similar. I enjoy the game. So I watch it. And now someone like Greg Moore is trying to tell me I'm culpable in Brittany Griner's arrest in Russia? That's an atrocious opinion, Greg. And that's really disgusting. Somehow it's my fault that LeBron James makes more than Brittany Griner? And did you say Brittany Griner makes $230,000 a year playing for the Mercury? They have a three-month season. $230,000? Wow. You know how much I would like to make $230,000 a year on my podcast? Do you know how many Americans would dream of $230,000 a year? The Americans that you've just called sexist? Because they don't have time to go to a WNBA game? Let me ask you something, Greg. Is there any chance that the WNBA, sorry to say this, is a minor league? And since it's a minor league, some people don't love it? I know a lot of people that don't really get into college basketball at all. Men's college basketball, they don't really like it. They love the NBA, but they don't like men's college basketball. Why? Because men's college basketball is not at the level of the NBA. And they'd rather go see the highest level of basketball. Now, what about you, Greg? Columnists in a market this size make very good money. A lot more than podcasters. But I tell you what, because of this new opinion that all of us are at fault for Brittany Griner being detained in Russia, how about you declare that you're going to get paid the rest of the year and all of next year as a WNBA commentator, as a WNBA columnist? You're only going to cover the team. You're just going to write articles about the Mercury. You're not going to cover anything else. And then the attention that your articles generate, that's what you get paid. You're only paid on how you cover the Phoenix Mercury. You willing to do that? Or are you sexist? Well, why aren't you using your platform to take a step back, grab a minor league by the horns, and lift it up? As you're calling all of us to do the WNBA, yet you're not doing it. I've never seen you at a Coyotes game before. Why? Are you anti-Canadian? Like, where does this end? You called me sexist. You told me it's my fault that there is a prisoner in Russia. It's my fault because I didn't do enough to donate to a woman making $230,000 a year. It's my fault because I chose not to pay money to go to a WNBA game because the WNBA didn't put a product out that enticed me as much as the Suns do, as much as the Diamondbacks do, as much as the Rattlers do, as much as the Rising do. I don't know if a lot of you know this. The United States women's national team, they bring in more money than the men's team when it comes to domestic events. Now, they don't bring in as much when you compare the FIFA money that comes in internationally. It's not even close. But if we're just talking straight up male versus female in U.S. soccer on games that are played on U.S. soil, the women are a fantastic draw. Some of them choose to play in the Women's Professional Soccer League here in the United States. Some of them choose to play in Europe. Where do I stand on that one, Greg? I have gone to men's national team games, and I have gone to women's games. I love soccer. So does that mean I'm now scot-free on your opinion about Brittany Griner? Am I not at fault because I go to a soccer game? Like, how many female events do I go to before I lose my sexist card, Greg? Someone explain to me why so many people in the business of women's sports think the way to motivate people to love women's sports is to insult them first. This seems like it's a phenomenon in our country. I'm going to insult you, tell you what a terrible person you are because you don't like my product. How does that make sense? I don't like yellow beer. What kind of ism am I because of that? Am I anti-Iowa because there's too much wheat? I don't know. We have a lot of problems in our country. I want us all to work to make it right. We have real life injustice going on. Let's fight that as opposed to trying to tell someone you helped imprison a woman 10,000 miles from home and it's my fault she only makes $230,000 a year. Why are we comparing what Brittany Griner makes to LeBron James instead of comparing what Brittany Griner makes to the female who's running the elevator as a security guard at that very game? You know what? Instead of me continuing on Greg Moore, let me tell you about a different story. Let me tell you about a true American hero. There's a man by the name of Michael Cox, 57 years old now, from Boston. Back in January of 1995, he's an undercover police officer. He's wearing jeans, wearing a sweatshirt, and he's in the gang unit. He's actually infiltrated the gang as an undercover cop. There's a shooting. He's chasing down the shooter, and he's going to make an arrest. Right before he gets to the shooter, a cop grabs him. He's black. The officers that were chasing him were white. He was severely beaten and wasn't even arrested. Kicked, punched, head injuries, kidney damage. The cops left him. And in their report, said he slipped on ice and cracked his head, having no idea he was an undercover cop. He sued. Took him a long time to get any money out of it, but he won. The whole time, he didn't leave the force. He felt like if this is what it feels like to be targeted, then the only way I can make the police force better is by staying in it. Part of the Boston police force for 29 years, and he kept moving up the ladder. Eventually, he left Boston, and he became the police chief of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Just this week, the Boston mayor brought him back, and he's now the chief of police for the city of Boston. That's a true American hero. What that man has been through at the hands of terrible evil and yet still had the courage to say, I'm going to fix this problem by my sheer will of character. Oh, yeah. See, Greg, when the first thing you do is to try to even use a headline that it's America's fault, really? See, America has freedoms. And it has choices. And Brittany Griner could have chose to stay here. She didn't. Did she deserve what has happened or what is happening? Never in a million years. Never in a million years. And I have said from day one, I really want the U.S. to do whatever they can to get her back. And I really want the U.S. to never release the Merchant of Death, Victor Bout. And I have no idea how you do both things. I don't know. I don't. And I don't care what political persuasion you are, pro or anti Joe Biden. I'll tell you the truth. I've prayed for Joe Biden on this issue because I don't know what's right. I don't know how to get this done. How do you do both? How do you look at those families that are in the DEA that their husbands and wives risked their lives to put that man, the merchant of death, in prison. How do you do that? And then say, oh, never mind, we need to get a basketball player out of jail. I mean, doesn't that sound weird to you at all? Yet, I also look at it and say, anybody that's in a Russian prison for American espionage, if it's true, any of those DEA agents that risk their lives, that they kind of knew going in this can happen. I don't think Brittany Griner knew going in, hey, you're going to be illegally detained for months on end and used as a pawn to be able to get a man that was in charge of mutilating children back into Russian hands. I don't blame Brittany Griner for it at all. I don't know what's the facts. I don't know what's the truth. But in return, I would like other people not to blame me for what happened to Brittany Griner. Greg Moore, I'm going to talk this up as just plain trash. I've had trashy shows. I've said stupid things. I've made mistakes. All the best in rebounding from this mistake. Got a little golf, got a little football, and then I got versus Vegas for you. The guy that's the chairman of the RNA, it's the USGA of England, the United Kingdom, and all of Europe. He spoke on a lot of different subjects yesterday, but you can imagine the main focus was the LIV Golf Tour. So here's his opening remarks, but as it specifically relates to how things are going to work in the future for the Open Championship and LIV Golf.
We all know the disruption that men's professional golf is facing and the potential impact it could have on the structure of the game. We've been saying for some time now that our purpose at the RNA is to ensure that golf is thriving in 50 years' time and that it remains strong at all levels, from grassroots through to the professional game. We've seen significant growth in the sport over recent years, and the RNA invests the proceeds from the Open, this championship, in developing, nurturing, and strengthening golf around the world, and ensuring that talented players have pathways to progress as far as they can in golf based simply on their own ability. I firmly believe that the existing golf ecosystem has successfully provided stable pathways for golfers to enter the sport and develop and realize their full potential. Professional golfers are entitled to choose where they want to play and to accept the prize money that's offered to them. I have absolutely no issue with that at all. But there is no such thing as a free lunch. I believe the model we've seen at Centurion and Pumpkin Ridge is not in the best long-term interests of the sport as a whole and is entirely driven by money. We believe it undermines the merit-based culture and the spirit of open competition that makes golf so special. I would also like to say that, in my opinion, the continued commentary that this is about growing the game is just not credible. And if anything, is harming the perception of our sport, which we are working so hard to improve. We believe the game needs to focus on increasing participation, achieving greater diversity, and making sure that golf is truly open to all, rather than this narrow debate involving a small number of players. As importantly, it detracts from what makes golf, as Arnold Palmer said, the greatest sport mankind ever invented.
He did acknowledge you can go where you want and play on whatever tour you want. But his main point there was about pathways. And he believes the correct pathway is the way that the PGA and the RNA have it set up. You could argue there's a little bit of arrogance there, but I kind of see where he's going. It was then further along when somebody said, what do you mean about the disturbance in the ecosystem, about the way you're handling golf?
We spend a multi-millions every year, the proceeds from this championship, on grassroots and amateur golf, from bottom, bringing people into the sport and playing elite golf. I know that I can look in the eye, because this is men's golf we're talking about at this point, I can look in the eye of any boy or any parent of that boy and know that if he comes into the game and wants to get to the top, wants to play this game, that there is a pathway to the top totally based on his ability and his willingness to work hard. And that has been fought for by our sport for 100 years. That pathway from picking up a golf club to playing at the top level. And I think that is something that is fantastic about our sport, I think, and it is worth fighting for. And that pathway is the biggest piece of the ecosystem for me.
I think that was beautifully said. I don't know if they're succeeding as well as he made it sound. This is an area where I don't have a lot of expertise, so I don't want to rip anybody. I don't know. I do know how amazing the PGA Tour is at making donations and charitable giving at some of their events. Not all, because they give out of the profit. They don't give, you know, if the tournament loses money, there's no money given then to the local charities. But are they really doing enough? You know, I don't know. I don't know how many of you might have young kids that received unbelievable gifts from the USGA, or they're somehow able to make golf less expensive for some people. I've never seen it, but I'm old, you know, and I don't know what kind of access I would have had as a kid, because I grew up, my parents didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up. So could I have played then? I don't know. But his main point is that you can become the best if you combine God-given talent with the pathway that is provided by the RNA or the PGA. And that's not really the case with LIV. LIV is not coming around donating all this money to different communities. LIV is not, they're just basically picking people off of another tour and saying, come play for me. Okay, but that's fine, but that's not a competition then. You're not competing for your livelihood like you are on the other tours, which really brings up an important point about golf rankings. And he didn't want to talk about that.
I'm here as the CEO of the RNA. I'm also a board member of the OWGR. And the board meeting was yesterday, by the way. That question will need to be addressed to the chairman of the OWGR. And the OWGR made a statement late last night, I think, about the application from LIV. And I have nothing further to add to that point and will not add to anything more on that point.
What he's talking about there, the OWGR stands for the Official World Golf Rankings. This is kind of a rolling score that you get based on how you finish in a golf tournament and based on who was at the golf tournament. And it lasts for 2 years. What I mean by that is if you win a tournament, you get points for it. But then 25 months later, you get no points for it. Okay, it's off your world golf ranking. And I know enough about the Official World Golf Rankings to understand it myself. I don't know it well enough to explain beyond what I just said. because they have some mathematic formula of, okay, you've got this many golfers that are ranked in the world top 25 or top 200 in this tournament. So therefore, this tournament is worth this many points. Therefore, a 14th place finish is worth this many points. And then it just adds up. The reason why that matters is those points are then determined by who gets into tournaments, who gets into the majors. So the Open Championship has qualifiers all around the world. You can try to qualify for the Open Championship and become the champion golfer of the world. And then there's other ways to qualify based on whether you've won certain tournaments around the world, and your rank in the official world golf rankings. If you have a high enough rank, you're automatically in. You don't have to go through any kind of a qualification process. But he didn't want to respond to whether or not they're going to honor LIV Golf's request. LIV Golf wants to receive points on the official golf world rankings. This is a really delicate conversation because everybody that's on the board has a reason to keep LIV Golf under their thumb. It's the chairman, or it's the PGA Tour commissioner. It's the commissioner of the DP World Tour, which used to be the European Tour. It's the head of the USGA. It's all of these people that don't like what LIV Golf are doing. So if they decide we're not going to give you any points, oh, that just feeds right into antitrust exemption or antitrust issues with the Sherman Antitrust Act in the United States. And I'm assuming, I don't know my European law at all, but I'm assuming fair price or fair practices, fair trade practices in Europe. So you would lose that case if you don't give them any points. But why should you? You're playing a 54-hole tournament without pressure. You're already getting paid no matter what. You're not really competing. So why should you get points? So that's the issue. And he talked about the game changing totally in years to come.
Looking ahead to the Open next year, we have been asked quite frequently about banning players. Let me be very clear. That's not on our agenda. But what is on our agenda is that we will review our exemptions and qualifications criteria for the Open. And whilst we do that every year, we absolutely reserve the right to make changes as our Open Championships Committee deems appropriate. Players have to earn their place in the Open, and that is fundamental to its ethos and its unique global appeal.
So you're not going to make it. Like you said, there's not a free lunch. You're going to have to earn your way in, is I think what he's saying. You want to play in the Open Championship, you're going to have to go through qualifying like every other person. Turn in your handicap that's official and earn your way in. So now all of these golfers that say, I want to have a reduced schedule and I wanted to play on the LIV Golf Tour for this reduced schedule, okay. But if you want to play in a major, you're going to have to go through all the steps of qualifying. I like that. I like that a lot. It's time for
Versus Bayo.
So I did okay yesterday. Saving Grace was having Baltimore on the money line. I went 4-4 yesterday, but because of my pick of Baltimore on the money line, I had some positive juice. Started the day 2-0. I was feeling pretty good. Took the Mets. Should have taken them on the money line. Took the Mets plus 1.5. They won 7-3. And took Minnesota minus 1.5. And they won 4-1. Now, what really bugged me is I like the pitching matchup of Seattle-Washington, game 2 of the doubleheader. So Seattle was favored in both on the run line. They covered the run line in game 1. I was on game 2. Seattle swept the doubleheader, but they only won 2-1. They won, I lose. I had Miami covering against Pittsburgh on the run line. They only won 5-4. I had the Yankees covering on the run line against the Reds. They won 7-6. So three different teams yesterday won their game, didn't cover the run line, I lose. Oh my gosh, did that stink. Then I had Philly and Toronto under 8.5. Toronto won 8-2. Oh, come on. Two measly runs. Then I got to some things right at the end of the day. I took Tampa Bay minus 1.5 against Boston, and the Rays won 4-1. And I had Baltimore straight on the money line. They were the underdog. I could have had a 1.5. I said, no, I don't need it. Baltimore's winning anyway. And they beat the Cubs 7-1. So I'm at 386 and 330. I got another incomplete today for you, meaning one of the games I'm picking, or one of the things I'm picking, I won't know if I got it right until Sunday. But there's a prop for Xander Schauffele at minus 125 to be in the top 20. That's just, that's easy money, isn't it? So I got Xander Schauffele minus 125 to finish in the top 20. If you are new to gambling or you're thinking about it, you don't know what that means. If there's a minus in front of it, think about this. That's how much you have to spend to win $100. So if it's minus 125, you've got to spend 125 to get 100. Now, am I betting 125? No. $5. It's $5. So I really don't win that much or lose that much, to be honest. I got three baseball, two favorites and an underdog. I got Texas -1.5 at home against Seattle. Seattle came off of that doubleheader while Texas is just sitting at home. That's an easy one. And Texas is throwing one of their best pitchers. I got Minnesota -1.5 against the White Sox. And I'm going to use the runs, Cubs and Mets. Mets had a tough travel, and they're facing the only pitcher for the Cubs that can pitch. So I'm going to use those runs, though. So Xander Schauffele minus 125 to finish in the top 20. I'll tell you how I got, whether or not I get that right on Sunday. Rangers and Twins covering the run line at -1.5. Cubs with the run line getting past the Mets +1.5. That does it for today's version of Doug Franz Unplugged. Please don't forget July 22nd. Try to put it on your calendar. Join us at the Parlay on Price in the 202 on the east side. Love to see you out there for the sanctioned event with the Unplugged Army. Thanks a lot to all of the sponsors that keep this train rolling. Hopefully you enjoy Doug Franz Unplugged, and there's no such thing if it wasn't for Parker & Sons, heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical. Man, it's hot. It's hot. Something might go wrong. You got to get service quickly. You need Parker & Sons, 602-2-REPAIR. Burrito Express, fantastic. Ideal Home Loans, 602-899-7000. I realize interest rates are out of whack, but use that equity and you might get your dream come true home. And then after you get your loan closed with Ideal Home Loans, if interest rates drop after 6 months, they'll call you and say, hey, we need to talk about redoing your loan, and they'll waive all lender fees. That way you're saving money on the fees and you're getting a new loan and you don't have to sit and monitor it all the time. Went to Bell's Nashville Kitchen this week. Wonderful. The beer was cold. I didn't eat anything because I had already eaten. But if you've never had the chicken sandwich, oh my. Nashville's hot chicken sandwich is voted the number one sandwich in the entire state of Arizona. Walk into Bell's and say, I'll be your huckleberry, and see if you like that sandwich. That's it for me. I'll see you tomorrow.